Frank, Hayes, and JJ.
Hit it!
It's time for The Frangie Show on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, welcome in, guys. Along for the ride. Frank Frangie, Hayes Carlion, JJ La Selva with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Our Wednesday, as you know by now, always sponsored by Ricketts Electric. Always a Ricketts Electric Wednesday. We appreciate our friends from Ricketts. Look, they do the best job around. Just saw Zach today, as a matter of fact, and yesterday.
Oh, cool. How's he doing?
He's doing fantastic. He and his little boy came up.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a Ricketts family reunion. He, his dad, and his little boy working on the
park.
How
about that?
His little boy looks like he's two. I can tell you, he's going to be wiring before long.
Yeah.
He'll be in there pulling some wires and connecting stuff in just a bit. So it was great to see Zach and his family.
How was the concert?
They had a blast. So 904-320-5960, the number for Ricketts Electric. They do a fantastic job. Always a Ricketts Electric Wednesday around here. It was electric out there, kind of hot. Your new drug today, by the way, Carlion, might be a stadium deal.
I know.
Have you heard?
That's the greatest drug.
Yeah,
Jaguars here for 25 more years. Sign me up.
Yeah, in a beautiful.
I'll just be getting into the prime of my career.
At that point. Well, that's about right.
So. I mean, I'm looking forward to. Yeah, in all seriousness, bravo to all involved.
Right.
Because sure, it's not 100% done, but it sure feels like they're 99% done with it, and I commend everyone involved for the manner in which they have conducted themselves. No saber rattling.
Agreed.
It has been done in such a classy, professional manner, and it makes me so proud of our leadership.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Leadership on both sides of the conversation.
Yeah.
The city has been very ambitious to do this, eager to do it. The Jags have they done their due diligence on all of it in terms of building a plan, coming up with a plan. Remember now, last October, Shad started pouring $1 million a month into this thing for the design purposes.
Yeah, so just to keep it on track.
It's $1 million a month.
Yeah.
And so they've done a great job. The way it'll work
I would have taken $25,000 a month,
yeah.
But my drawings may not have been as sophisticated.
But I heard it was down to you and them, okay? Hayes and HOK or whoever people use. Is HOK still around? Whoever people use these days.
I mean, I use watercolors.
I know you
do. They're pretty spectacular.
Look, I've seen your design. Yeah. There's no question. Listen, I was down when Akon Construction built our new walk-off. It was down to you and Akon. And I mean, it came right down to the wire.
Yeah.
So Akon at the end. Now, the way it works is you've seen all the news reports, and then everybody confirmed those on the city side today. Ron Salem, the council president, and Donna Deegan, of course, the mayor. What happens on this is the agreement between the city and the Jaguars, which though they have pretty much hammered out the details of that, will be presented to the city council on Tuesday. It's then 60 days before they can, by law, can vote on it. So the hope is that on time they can vote in July, and they will vote in July to agree to it. Which I think will happen. They need 10 votes. They don't need a supermajority. They need a majority.
Right.
They need 10 of the 19 votes. It went
There's
through
no chance they don't get 10 votes.
I don't think there is either. You never know, but I would be surprised if it's not significantly more than that.
I would agree.
That'd be my point, my guess. So, but you need 60 days, and then I think, and then once it is agreed to by both the city council and the Jags and the mayor, it's still not done yet. Then it's got to go before the owners, the next owners meeting. Apart from calling a special owners meeting, which you could, but there's no need to at this point, will be in October.
Mm-hmm.
And so the owners meeting in October is when this thing will get done. I'm like you.
I don't think that'll meet any resistance either.
I don't think so either. I think this will get done. It'll get done from the owner standpoint because the Jags and the league have been in lockstep from the get-go, as they were in Nashville and as they were in Buffalo and as they will be in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a standard thing. So I got a thought or two about that, but we'll get to it. But I will prepare you and others. There will be citizen pushback because there always is. There will be
– I'm fine with citizen pushback.
There will be
– I just didn't want the two major parties
that matter
screaming at each other in public.
Right. That's not going to happen. Yeah. There will be city – and I'm not saying citizens don't matter. I said that wrong.
No,
people that will make the decision.
There's always going to be pushback there.
There will be pushback, and there will be non-sports media pushback, as there always is. And everybody on both sides knows that's coming, and there's no debating that. But I think nothing's a shoe-in, but I think they've done their due diligence. Again, if you are the city and the Jags and you are in lockstep on this one, you need 10 votes. You need 10 votes from the city council. There are 19 city council people. I'd be surprised if sitting here today, if there's not 13 or 14 people that if you polled the city council, which you won't, but I think there are a minimum of 13 or 14 that would push that green button right now. They need 10 green buttons. And I would think there's, in my mind, 13 or 14 that would push that green button today. So that's a good thing.
And you're incredibly connected to that. I would say that is a very good hypothesis.
Yeah, that's kind of about where I think they are today. So I think that's where they are. So we'll see.
It's great. It's wonderful news. It truly is. And again, I applaud the administration. And again, I think the previous administration did a really nice job.
Same here.
But I commend this administration. No public referendum,
right?
Because like we've talked about, nothing would ever get passed on a public referendum when
that's
it comes
correct.
To culture, you know, and sports and stuff like that, recreation. So I really think that they have done a masterful job on both sides of how they have handled this. The town halls last summer, I thought, were incredibly important and incredibly well executed. And it's, you know, to this point, it's really been flawless. And now it seems like they're incredibly close, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, it's a 25-year investment in the city.
Yeah. And I will say this, the Shad's commitment to the city is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It's extraordinary.
Both mayors, Lenny Curry before now and Donna Deegan now, have been very bullish on getting this done. So Shad's commitment to the city is so. I mean, listen, he lives an hour and a half from St. Louis. He could move it. He always could have moved it.
He could have moved this team in the blink of an eye.
Right. It was never going to London.
Many of his colleagues wanted him to.
At least seven or eight. At least seven or eight of those other 31 owners wanted him to.
And none of them would have tried to talk him out.
Right. But I mean, he could have moved this thing to an hour and a half of his home. And didn't do it.
Or L.A.
Yeah, well, that's right. But so he could have moved it. The mayors, both Mayor Curry before and now Mayor Deegan now, have been very bullish on it. But having said all that, in my mind, and I applaud all three of them, Lenny Curry, Donna Deegan, and Shad's so commitment. The star of this to me is Mark Lampert.
Yes.
That's the star. That's the rock star here, the guy who built MetLife Stadium, which remains one of the best in the league, by the way, who ran the St. Louis Cardinals for many, many years. I mean, this is a guy that had to fire Joe Torre and hire Tony La Russa. That worked out okay. All he did is win a few World Series for you. And Mark, for a guy that's not from here, lives in Ponte Vedra, is this Jacksonville committed, his kids are here, and Mark's the rock star in this. And I'm in my heart of hearts, I say that bias because he's a friend, but I'm just telling you, he's the rock star in this thing. And it's not done yet, but it's going to get done, and I'm excited about what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, and I'll say one other thing about it. We're going to start with some other stuff today on the program, and then come back to this. Our freaking city deserves wait till you see this. You've seen it.
Oh,
it's going to look like it's going to be as state of the art as they get. It'll be way more like what you're going to see, what you already see at SoFi, than what you see in Nashville and Buffalo and all these other new ones. It'll be the best looking new one. It's got more components. You're protected from rain. You're protected from sun. Yet there's going to have an open air feel to it. It's truly going to be magnificent. We've seen the renderings. I'm not breaking news here. It's truly going to be. And I will tell you this freaking city where you and I were born and raised. This city, which hasn't had Disney World and the Bucks and the Dolphins and this and that and South Beach. Our freaking people deserve what they're about to get in this stadium. The people in this city where you and I and many others were born and raised. And I went to freaking the University of Florida and had to hear about making fun of my city because I hung out with people from all over. Hey, let's go to Actionville. Frank's from Actionville. Well, you know what? Actionville is about to get one dang good stadium. And so I'm very excited. So I'm kind of jacked up. And again, there's far more to report when this thing happens. I think it'll be for public consumption by Tuesday. And I don't know all the parameters of the deal. I assume, and I'm going to, these are guesses, but it's just a stadium. It's not the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. I assume we're in that $1.5 billion range. I assume there's somewhat of a relatively even split, whether it's the city. Let's say it's 1-4, and whether the city goes 8 and the Jags go 6 or 7-7, I don't pretend to know that. What I do know is that's got to be close. $1.5 billion is close. Close to an even split or a 60-40 split is close. I think we all know it's somewhere in there. And so congratulations to all involved, and we'll talk more about that and the importance of that. And, again, you'll know more next week when it's introduced. So we're very excited about where that thing's headed. I'm going to start the program, by the way, because it's Sports and Courts Day. We do that every Wednesday at 4:15. It's really interesting. The NIL thing, the part of the NIL, the component, I should say, that might get former players paid is really fascinating. I mean, have you thought about that? I mean, players have played years ago.
Yeah, because how do you determine what they get?
Exactly.
I mean, shouldn't Tim Tebow get more than Zach Zadalas?
Well, that's the question is, what does Tim Tebow get? What does Charlie Ward get? What do they get?
Right.
I mean, it's a
– And where do you determine
right.
the line of which do players from 1990 get money, right. but players from 1989 do not? You know, like how – where do you determine – this is the point where the sport became so lucrative, or did you just go all the way back? I mean, is Roger Staubach going to get something in right. the mail? I mean, you know, I mean, does it go back to the dawn of college football?
Yeah,
I wouldn't think. I would think that there's a line that they will settle on, and somebody is going to be upset, you know, because if let's just say it was 1990 is the start, if you're a player like Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders, you know, great in the 80s, Bo Jackson, you get nothing.
Yeah.
So it will be fascinating.
So that'll be one of our topics. We got some other fun stuff we'll talk about. I do want to talk about the stadium a little bit, the importance of it. The A Sun is moving here. I think that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
The Atlantic Sun offices here. Jeff Bacon, the commissioner of the Atlantic Sun, will be here. He's already here. And now the offices will be here.
When JU starts the season with 4 straight road games, we'll know exactly where to go.
I think who to blame. That's exactly right. So, because UNF and JU have stayed, and they've stayed the course in this league. Other teams have come and gone, and Northern Kentucky's in, and then they're out, and Jacksonville State. JU and UNF have been warriors for that league. So has Gulf Coast. So, I mean, so has Stetson. I'm not saying they're the only one, but they've been in there, Lipscomb. But they've been in there for a long time, and they're good for them. Good for them, the fact that they've been here for all this time, and they've done a terrific job. So I'm glad for both of them, and I'm glad that's going to happen. So we'll talk about
it.
You
wonder if the A-Sun tournament, if they ever go back to a neutral court, which it seems like there's support for some and some that yeah. prefer it to be remain on campus.
Yeah.
But with the league office being here, if you know they could have it here,
yeah.
If that would work out. But obviously there's other organizations involved as well.
You know, it's interesting about that. Two of our good friends in the business are Alex Rickard Gilbert at JU and Nick Morrow at UNF, two really good young ADs. I mean, really good. Alex thinks it should be a neutral site, and he doesn't like the on-campus. Nick thinks the on-campus is the way to go.
Right.
And these are two bright guys now, two bright, forward-thinking guys. So who knows?
Yeah.
You know, so
but maybe if the neutral site is the arena in Jacksonville,
that's right.
Then maybe it
– then everybody wins.
Makes sense.
And it would not shock me to see with two schools here – to see, they also announced the Sports Foundation, Jacksonville Sports Foundation, as well. So we got so a lot of fun stuff we'll talk about today on the program. But the news of the day is the stadium. The topic of the day, at least to start this thing, is what happens with NIL to pass players. JJ, fire it up.
Now, time for Sports in Courts: legal issues in the sports world with Brett Hastings from the Hastings Injury Law Firm. Hit back. With Hastings.
Brett Hastings joins us now with a very interesting topic. Brett, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. And this is a compelling one. And there's probably as many unknowns as there are knowns involving it.
Yeah, and you know what? I get it. I'm not asking you to give me all the answers, but I will ask you to frame it up for me. Former athletes are now expecting to be paid, even though NIL was not in place when they played. In your opinion, and I know nobody knows these answers, we're all guessing, frame this up for me and how far back and how much they get and how does anybody ascertain where this is headed?
Yeah, and here it is. Best way to frame it up. There are two cases out there, right? There's the House case and the Carter case. And they both are suing the NCAA on antitrust grounds, okay? And as we've discussed over the years, antitrust basically says monopoly, right? And so in the House case, they're saying that, yeah, athletes that previously played and then the athletes going forward, right, that the NCAA is essentially committing an antitrust violation by not sharing TV revenue, right, video game revenue, and the NIL with the players. Like the players in the past couldn't go and make the money off of the NIL. Okay, so that's the House case. The Carter case says, again, antitrust violation, and by setting a number, right, for a grant and aid at universities, that was an antitrust violation, and that really what should have been happening in college athletics is it would be like free agency, right? So if Coach Norvell in Tallahassee wanted to offer X in his grant and aid, he could maybe go up against USC, and then the player could choose whichever one they wanted. And so it's on the basis of antitrust. Now, there's so many different questions on, are they going to get paid? Yeah, they're going to get paid, okay? The biggest question, look at the House case about TV revenue. In the House case, what's interesting is they haven't just sued the NCAA. They've sued the Power Five conferences as well, right? So who got all the TV money? Well, Southeastern Conference has the best deal that it has going, right? You've got the Big Ten's deal. So there's some real compelling issues there. We don't know much about that. We know that settlement negotiations through media reports are happening because in the House case, it's a class action. There's 14,500 athletes that had opted in and that are being represented. And there's a trial date in that case set for January. What the NCAA is worried about, and the one thing that I do think is clear legally, is that the courts are going to find that the NCAA, right, has been violating antitrust. Now, as to how those monies and the other things get worked out, that's what's going to be, you know, really, really interesting. Are we going to pay players from 20 years ago? We're not. A lot of those things are going to be cut off, you know, by way of statutes of limitation or whatever.
Okay.
And House and Carter, they're seeking back to like 2019, you know, for those players that are in there. But, you know, we don't know enough if others would be able to bring, you know, this isn't going, if I don't believe the way these lawsuits are set that other athletes and that there won't be other lawsuits. I just believe this is going to end up being the paradigm as to how we're going to deal with these issues.
Brett, they're talking about in the concluding the litigation that the back pay would be, I want to say, like $2.7 billion. So are there going to be players? I figured the range would be much longer than players that just were in the game in 2019 and in recent years. So do you think there'll be athletes that maybe didn't make it in the NFL that are going to get rich off of this conclusion?
Well, I don't know how rich, you know, they're going to get. You know, one of the things is I would imagine most of this was taken on a contingent fee, right? So these lawyers probably are going to earn 30-40% of what's there, okay? Then you're going to take 14,500 people and say the House case, okay? And you're going to go and you're going to devise that. Now, you know, I've dealt with and I've handled mass tort cases for clients. And so what happens is when a large group goes to settle, typically there's some type of paradigm that's agreed to as to how you would break them up. You know, are you going to break them up? And in this case, you have female athletes that are included, right? You have male athletes that are included. You have athletes from different sports. And so those are the questions that I'm incredibly curious. You know, a lot of times what happens is they put together what we'll call like a settlement matrix, right? And so in an injury context, if somebody had three surgeries or if somebody had, you know, X, Y, or Z, then they would be at a certain place on the matrix. And then somebody who would never have a surgery would be much lower, right? And that's how you would break up the larger settlement. So on this, you know, the variables we don't know, who's going to pay, I think is super compelling, right? And the House case, as it relates to the TV revenue, because I don't think the NCAA is saying, hey, we're here to flip the entirety of that bill. And then you're right. It's like, how is that going to end up breaking up? as to who's going to get paid.
Brett, what is that statute? You said there's a statute of limitations. How far back will that go, or do you know that?
I don't know that. I just know that in those cases, they sought only from 2019 forward. And so I would assume there was an applicable statute that you would have to go in to seek that compensation. You know, for example, if you're owed money on a contract, you have no greater than 5 years. Okay. Now in our state, things have changed. If you've been injured by somebody else, there's a 2-year statute of limitation. So there are a lot of different ones. So, you know, what's really interesting and one thing that I think the viewers would like to know, we hear about these huge class actions and we say, hey, you know, when companies have them, we say, oh, I bet the companies hate them. You know, truth be told, some of these companies love them, right? You know, in a pharmaceutical context, when these pharmaceutical companies go make $10 billion, right, and they pay $500 million out in settlement, the one thing that happens is that they send things out in this class action, and the people that don't opt in, they end up never being able to bring a claim, right? So it almost acts as like a discharge or a bankruptcy, and so the companies know it could be done. Here, the NCAA, it's not as clear, but I think the NCAA is going to do whatever it takes to really put together some large settlements because they do not want this to get to the Supreme Court or to some of the higher federal courts and for there to be finally a true legal finding saying that they don't have the rulemaking authority that they say they have, and they're violating antitrust.
Well, that is really good stuff because you're right. The NCAA has always feared the real court of law, always, has always feared the real court of law. Great work as always. We'll see how many players from years gone by get paid. Brett Hastings checking in from the Hastings Injury Law Firm. That is Sports and Courts. Thank you, Brett.
You got it.
All right, great way. Wouldn't be interesting because you made the best point. If there wasn't a statute of limitations on this, what does Tim Tebow get paid?
Right.
What does Herschel Walker get paid?
Right.
You know, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the great, great players of all time.
And it does make me wonder in this, the conclusion of this legal case, it particularly if they're worked in together and it's just settled, how much can the NCAA and the conferences mold the agreement? Can it almost become a de facto CBA for them moving forward on what the players are entitled to?
You're exactly right, so we will see. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. We'll talk stadium coming up in a bit. What if I told you we now have four anthems, four rock anthems? What if I said there's four rock anthems? We're going to have our first poll today. The winner moves on. Only first place moves on. We have had, so far, Piano Man, Don't Stop Believing, Stairway to Heaven, and a little ditty from this band from New Jersey. Pretty good anthems.
It's pretty good anthems. I think this one's a little bit of a Cinderella story.
Yeah, it is. Listen, not everybody can be a one seed.
Yeah.
You got to have some lower seeds.
Yeah.
But we will see what winds up.
This one got hot at the right time.
It got hot at the right time. The poll will be out. The four, believe me, we have four different polls. The first four team poll will be out. We'll see who wins. Piano Man, Don't Stop Believing, Stairway to Heaven, and Living on a Prayer. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Ricketts Electric Wednesday on The Frangie Show. Ricketts Electric, the power connection you can trust.
And we do trust them. Zach Ricketts and Company, 904-320-5960. They're our electrician. Make them yours. You'll be awfully glad you did. You're hearing Living on a Prayer now. I'm sorry. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. We're going to have 16 rock anthems. They're going to be voted on four at a time, four brackets. Bracket one is Piano Man by Billy Joel, Don't Stop by Journey, Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. What do we have, 1 day to vote? What did you put on there, JJ?
Yeah, 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours. So tomorrow at this time, we'll let you know who wins bracket one and who moves on to the final four. Pretty exciting stuff is what you got here. You don't get that everywhere. You don't get that on a talk radio show in Macon.
You do not.
If you're driving through, you're not going to see that.
I have cast my vote as well, and the song I voted for is running away with it.
Okay.
But we're very early on.
It's very early. We got, and again, so again, this is only one of these four will advance. And so listen, either Led Zeppelin or Billy Joel are going home. You realize that, don't you?
It's
a tough bracket here.
It is.
One of them are going home. I mean, they're going to the house.
It is a tough bracket.
Well, one of them are on the golf course tomorrow. You know that, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Just saying that. So there's your bracket.
It's unbelievable.
We'll have some fun. So we have 12 more teams. Every day you'll have a different one introduced for you.
And we haven't even counted the mail-in ballots. So who knows?
Exactly
tonight,
right.
Who knows what we got happening
there's
tonight.
There's always that. Back to the stadium for a second. You're going to hear the details of the stadium next week. You know most of the details. You're going to hear pushback from folks that don't think taxpayers should be paying for sports entities. I understand that. Some of the non-sports media will be saying that as well. I understand that. And I'll make this point again. I've been making it, and I'll make it as many times as I have to. If all you see in this is that the only people that benefit or the 60,000 that will be at the game, you're missing the point. And I understand this is an opinion, but I'm a sports talk host and I'm paid to give those. What having the Jaguars does for this city in terms of self-esteem cannot be overstated and cannot be measured. In any way, shape, or form, it cannot be measured. To know that we're one of the big boys, at least in this entity, if you live here, if you care about, I don't know anybody that lives here that doesn't love this place. The weather, the beaches, the golf, the cost of living, no state income tax, the people, the traffic or lack thereof. It is just a phenomenal place to live. In fact, I hope it stays a little bit of a secret because I don't want everybody coming here. But what I do want is when people talk about our city, they talk about it with pride. They talk about it with self-esteem. And I think the Jaguars' presence, and particularly the presence in Shad's leadership. I know the football team hasn't been as good as he'd want it to be and we'd want it to be, although I think there's some momentum now. But I really do believe what this team, what this city has become because of the Jags is so very, very different than what it have been without. And the best examples, and I don't mean to ever demean a city, but the best examples are Birmingham and Memphis and other cities that fell short. That's the reality. There's no comparing Memphis and Nashville. Because Nashville got a team and Memphis didn't. There's no comparing Atlanta, Charlotte, and Birmingham because two of the three have a team and one does not. We didn't want to be and we don't ever want to be Birmingham. And Birmingham's a wonderful town, and I mean that sincerely. This isn't to demean Birmingham, Alabama. But there's a gigantic, appreciable difference to be in the game and to not be in the game, and we're in the game. We're at the party. You don't want to be one of the teams or one of the cities that got left out of the party. And I don't think that was ever going to happen because I think Mark Lamping and his team were always going to put together a deal that was going to make sense for the city and the city was going to agree to it. But if you look at the deal when you see it next week and think the city's giving up too much, why do we have to give millions to a billionaire? Here's why. Because that's how it works. And the cities that didn't give the millions to the billionaire lost their team. And if you don't believe me, ask how they feel about the NFL these days in St. Louis, in Oakland, and in San Diego. Well, here's how they feel. They're bitter and pissed because they don't have a team. And that's the reality. In St. Louis, I feel bad for. That's a good crowd. They still sell out the UFL now. I mean, they still have great crowds for that. But a city that
And their team was just stolen.
And it was. But a city that isn't willing to ante up is going to be without a team. And so when you look at the deal, and if you're one of the folks who thinks, shame on us for giving all this money to the team, I ask you, there's only one question. You can break this down 10,000 ways if you want to. There's only one question. And that is, would you rather the Jags be here or not? That's the only question. You can say, well, I'd like them to be here, but I don't want... Doesn't work like that. Do you want the team to be here or not? Okay? That's it. Do you want the team to be here or do you want them not to be here? If you want them to be here, this deal, which is very fair by pro sports standards, is the way to go. And I think it's as simple a question because it's going to be debated next week. When it comes up next week and when you start debating it and when others start debating it, there's only one question. Would you prefer the Jaguars to be here or would you prefer them not?
Yeah, that's very well said. And again, in looking at it, you're either going forwards or you're going backwards. If you don't do this deal, and again, I think it's going to get done, but to people that are upset by it, if this deal doesn't get done and the Jaguars leave, then the perception of Jacksonville will be that it's going backwards, that it's going back into the dark ages. And nothing of consequence will ever come here again. I mean, it just won't happen. They would never get another NFL team. They're not, this city isn't big enough, in my opinion, to certainly have the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, not without the presence of the Jaguars. And so it basically, you're basically handicapping yourself, your city, from ever growing, from ever continuing to elevate. And, you know, again, I think if you care about this city, even if you're not a football fan, you should appreciate what it does for the city. I am not a fan of opera, but if they wanted to build a very nice opera house here that would be the envy of the world and people from all over the world that love opera would come here to see performances, I would like to have that happen, even though I probably will never go, because I like living in a city where we have the opportunity to enrich ourselves in whatever outlet we choose. And so it needs to get done again. I'm glad that the leadership that we have had on both sides has been so strong over the last several years with this. I commend Wayne Weaver as well for his part in this, in identifying Shad Khan as an owner that would be committed to Jacksonville. And this is getting ready to be a great success story, because no one outside of Jacksonville believed this city would hold the Jaguars well into the 2040s, which is what is going to happen when this deal is ratified.
Well said. The stadium deal will be announced next week. You've heard the news now that it is the Jags in the city have agreed in principle. It now will go before the city council and be reintroduced at next Tuesday's meeting. We'll take a break. Hayes, headlines are next. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Gather round.
It's Hayes' Headlines, presented by Harrell & Harrell. Don't settle for less than you deserve.
Hear all about it.
Here's Hayes Carline.
All right, welcome back to the Frangie Show. Frank Frangie, J.J. LaSelva. I am Hayes Carline with you. Thank you to our friends at Harrell & Harrell. Please give them a call at 251-1111. Frank, we have breaking news.
You know,
Paul Skeens coming to the show.
Let me just say this. It's a good thing this didn't happen an hour ago. We might not have even mentioned that little stadium thing. Is there a stadium thing going on too? Like they're building a building or something?
Yeah.
It's about time. Paul Skeens, the number one overall pick last year, who had no business ever even pitching in the minor leagues. I mean, minor league hitters have no chance to hit him. And he will be up. He will be a dominant pitcher in the big leagues for my Pirates. And he'll lead them to, because of their offense, a good 68 or 69 wins is my guess. But I'm telling you, my timeline of all this Pirate stuff, it's just lit up with Paul Skeens. So I'm very happy that he will pitch. He will pitch Saturday against the Cubs when he beats them. I will talk so much trash to Taylor Dahl. I might drive to our house and knock on the door.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm very excited about
it. That is that. So your Saturday just radically changed.
Yes. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to this George Strait show.
Oh, wow.
Well, and hang on. There's like 12 of us in a party bus going.
Yeah.
I might have to pull up lame.
My arm. It's broken.
We got 12 of us on a party bus going to see George Strait and Chris Stapleton.
Well, George Strait might call in sick.
There's always that. Exactly right.
Getting back to the Jaguars, congratulations. Well, I know you were excited to get him up there. So congrats on that. Getting back to the Jaguars, Frank, how many primetime games do you think we'll see when the schedule is released for the Jaguars?
Yeah, you know what? It won't be one. Like it's been some years. It's still not a marquee team, even though we're closer to marquee. So I'm going to say three. I was thinking two the whole time. I'm going to go three.
Three. Night game, not counting London?
Yeah, not counting London. I'm going to say three night games.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
I'd go less than that. But I do think they'll have, like, the London will be its own window. We'll see if they play the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. That would certainly be its own window. But in terms of night games, I'll say that just probably won. I just think that because of what you're talking about, I just think they've got to do it a little more consistently before they'll get multiple.
Suzanne Frangie from South Jacksonville checks in. Says you'll be at that damn concert even though I have to carry you on my back. Okay. So much for sitting out and watching ball skiing,
well,
just so you know.
God bless the DVR. God. Whoever invented air conditioning and the DVR,
God bless,
they're phenomenal. All right. The Jags have the third most cap space in the NFL right now with $34 million. I was surprised by that number. That's awfully high for a team that has built such a competitive roster.
Yeah, he's done a good job with that. They have been very careful. There are players that aren't on the team anymore that could have been. There's Zay Jones. There's Jamal Agnew. Of course, you replaced Agnew with DuVernay. I know that. But, I mean, there's guys. They've done a good job with the cap, which continues to make us wonder, Hayes, is there one more move coming, a move of significance before they go to camp? Is it an edge? Is it a corner? Is it a move at all? But the cap room is one reason why we wonder that.
The 49ers are trying to keep receiver Brandon Ayuk. I think that's a good move for them. I would have never traded him.
I think he's a really good player. And they're worried a little bit about their cap situation. They're not quite where the Chargers were, where they had to say goodbye to Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But they're concerned. The word was that somehow, some way, they had to find some money. That's why Eric Armstead probably wasn't extended the way he wanted to be or didn't get more money. That's why Brandon Ayuk. I think there's other players of significance that probably were shopped at some point. But
I'd get rid of Debo Samuel before I'd get rid of Ayuk.
And I think Debo – I would too, by the way. And I think Debo was probably in play as well. I think they had to cut some dollars. It's good for the 49ers that he's there.
Frank, getting back to the bigs, you sent me this story a couple days ago. It's interesting. Baseball arm problems, and there's data suggesting that reducing workloads is not decreasing injuries.
It's one of the best stories I've seen on baseball. I sent it to you a couple days ago. Everyone thinks, and look, they're trying this Tommy John thing is epidemic. It's gotten to epidemic numbers now. Yeah, it really has, Hayes, and so they have to figure out something. So everybody's desperately trying to figure out how to fix this, and it's been cutting back and managing workload and pitch counts. And now there's a study out that says maybe that's the wrong thing. Maybe because you're babying these guys so much, they don't build up a tolerance. And maybe letting them go 80, 90, 100 pitches builds up the tolerance and strengthens the arm. So maybe we've been doing it all wrong. We'll see if that's right or not, but it's a fascinating story. It really is.
It really was, because it's about a decade of data now.
Yes,
and
yeah,
you can certainly make the case that the data suggests it does not help.
Well, the truth is Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver were fastball pitchers that never had arm problems and always threw 150 and 120 pitches a game. Now, the one difference was, and Max Scherzer is the best example of this, Justin Verlander is, they know how not to throw all out every pitch. They know how to pace themselves, and today's young pitcher doesn't. It's all velo, but it's a fascinating story that maybe building guys up and letting them go longer early in their career is a better move than managing them and babying them. Is a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. Shohei Ohtani is not pitching this year because of an arm issue, but he is absolutely crushing it for the Dodgers offensively. Ohtani leads the bigs in average at 365, homers with 11, and hits with 54.
Pretty amazing how good he is. And if you talk about best hitters in baseball, particularly with Trout down now, the debate is between Ohtani and Mookie Betts, who, oh, by the way, are on the same team.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that unbelievable? I mean, that honestly, that would be like Tom Brady and Barry Sanders, right? That would be like Michael Jordan and Magic in the same backcourt. It's pretty amazing stuff.
It is. Getting it to the NBA, Oklahoma City rolled Dallas. Oklahoma City allowing just 90.6 points per game. It's the best through five games in the playoffs since the 2016 San Antonio Spurs. You know, you got the Timberwolves. We were talking about what a great defensive performance they've been having. Boy, that could be an unbelievable Western Conference final if that's the way it plays out.
Are the West Conference finals that have taken us to Los Angeles and San Antonio and Dallas and Oakland, San Francisco, Golden State for all these years going to be in Oklahoma and Minnesota? Minnesota, oh, you betcha. Is that really what's going to happen?
It
Minnesota
like
and Oklahoma? Are
JJ, is that what we're going to see?
I don't know about Oklahoma City still.
Okay.
Luka looks
hurt.
His knee looks bad, so it may be. But there's so much time left in that series. It's still game one. I think I still would pick Dallas.
Okay. The Celtics routed Cleveland in game one. Derek White is just making everything for Boston. JJ, do you think that one's going to be pretty easy?
Oh, yeah. And the Eastern Conference Finals. They might not lose a game until the finals.
How about that?
Yeah, they're really good. They have a lot. You know what? They have a lot of good players that do a lot of the same stuff. You know, so no, they're very good.
The NBA playoffs, always exciting. One of the most exciting moments in NBA playoff history occurred on this date in 1995.
Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Tie game.
Starks misses. Batted around. Ewing has it. His shot no good. Reggie Miller the rebound and a foul with 7.5 seconds. Anthony stumbles and falls. Scoring 8 points in the final 32 seconds. Taunting Spike Lee and 19,000 at Madison Square Garden.
What a moment. Great job, JJ, with that clip. And 8 points. It was 8 points in the final 8.9 seconds.
Steph? No, he's not in the final. 8 points in 9 seconds. But then the Knicks ended up actually getting the ball and having a few seconds. So like, the actual, there was like 30-something left in the game, yeah. I guess.
Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in NBA history. Reggie Miller is the greatest clutch shooter in NBA history. Reggie Miller coming off the curl is one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see if you've ever watched basketball, if you've ever watched the sport.
Isn't it amazing that was 29 years ago?
Wow.
We say this in every – yes. I apologize. Yes. For, you know, it's,
but it is. I agree with you.
It's incredible.
I agree. Totally agree.
Happy birthday today to Ronnie Lott, who turned 65. The 10-time Pro Bowler and 4-time world champion was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2000. He was one of my favorite players growing up as a kid. The man had his pinky finger amputated so he wouldn't miss games.
How about that? One of the toughest. When safeties were allowed to hit you, Kenny Easley hit you hard. Others hit you hard. Nobody hit you harder than Ronnie Lott. Great, great physical. So linebacker playing in the secondary is what he was.
I got a great pop culture nugget for you today, Frank. Rocky is one of our favorite movies. Well, there's an interesting movie in production about Sylvester Stallone's pursuit to get Rocky made. The film, titled I Play Rocky, documents Stallone struggling as an actor, writing the Rocky script, and holding out on any deal in which he was not going to be the star of the movie. There's no release date yet, but it does have a director, and we will keep you posted on that. So I Play Rocky could be a cool movie coming down the
road. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't found a lot of new movies these days that move the needle for me. That'll be a first day at the theater for me. It really will.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. All right, we will get you out on this flashback. 40 years ago today, an iconic album was released. Bob Marley and the Wailers, compilation album Legend. A mainstay on the Billboard 200 for 833 non-consecutive weeks. Oh, that's so good. The album has sold an estimated 25 million copies. It was released 3 years after Marley died at the age of 36.
The undebatable king of reggae.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Well done. Well done with headlines. They were very, very good today. Ricketts Electric Wednesday. Frangie, Carline, LaSalva. More in a moment, so stay with us.
It's a Ricketts Electric Wednesday on The Frangie Show. Ricketts Electric, the power connection you can trust.
I gotta say this, on a Wednesday afternoon on the First Coast, that J.J. LaSalva out of southwestern Ocala has stepped up his bump game. Have you noticed that?
He has.
He's
the Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, he has stepped up. I want to say this is a step up. I mean, you have, about the last week and a half, I think you did outstanding stuff. Are you getting more sleep? Are you getting a lot of sleep? Is it good breakfast food?
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten breakfast in about 20 years, okay. So probably not.
So it's probably not that. Okay. By the way, speaking of music, we do have some news report. You know, we're doing our Pick the Best Rock Anthem.
Yes.
And it's four. It's groups of four. Groups of four. One advances to the Final Four each time. Now we're only 130 votes in. 131 votes in. I'll make sure I got this right. So we're only 131 votes in, but 134 votes in now.
Well, that's a, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have thousands of votes, I would think. Yeah. We're doing this for 20. We've only done it for 20, right. 20 minutes or so, and we're doing it for
you know, real polling, it's like they don't actually, you know, poll that many people.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not on Twitter, scientific. Maybe we should do a shout
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll probably do it at the end for the final, at least for the last one we'll do it. But so we'll probably won't do it for everyone. But for this, 130 votes in, Piano Man, which I now will admit I voted for.
Yeah.
Getting crushed.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I voted for it. Too.
Dead last.
Yeah.
Is it dead last?
Dead ass.
Don't stop believing. 35% has been could go wire to wire. Stairway to Heaven 29%. Living on a Prayer 20% and Piano Man 16%. Shows you what we know.
So I'm living in a world in which Living on a Prayer is beating Piano Man.
It is.
And best anthem of modern rock.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
How about that? I'm just saying, of the rock era.
We definitely need to do a shout on this because I think this might be one of those Twitter demographic things hurting.
So we'll see.
Hurting my cause.
Again, we probably won't do a shout, but we're down the road for sure. A Ricketts Electric Wednesday. Thanks to my friend Zach Ricketts and all the folks at Ricketts. Listen, they're our personal electrician. They work for Walk Off Charities. Zach does such a good job. 904-320-5960, the number to call. The news of the day, you know by now. You've seen it if you follow the news, that both the city and the Jags have agreed in principle to a stadium deal. It will be presented to the city council on Tuesday, upcoming. That means next Tuesday. It'll be presented to the city council. The way it works, the city council then has 60 days of discussion. The law is a minimum of. In 60 days, they can take a vote. There's 19 city councilmen in Jacksonville. You need a simple majority for this to pass. They need 10 votes. I'm guessing they're probably going to get, if they voted today, they'd have 13 or 14. That's my opinion. And I think they would pass. It's a marvelous day in Jacksonville when it does happen, and I think that it will. If it does pass in July, and my expectations are that it will, it'll then be in front of the NFL owners in October. I think it will pass very quickly. And I think sometime this fall, Hayes, we will know that a beautiful new stadium of the future is coming to Jacksonville, and I couldn't be more excited. The people of this city deserve that. The people of this city have earned that. The people of this city, the sports fans in this city, deserve something every bit as good or better than what all these other cities have, and we will have that, and I couldn't be more excited. I thought it's a big news day today for me finding all this out.
It's phenomenal because we've always had confidence, but it's just great to see confirmation of that. And again, I salute the leadership on both sides because I was worried that there would be saber rattling, that there would be name calling, that there would be public threats. And it's never even gotten remotely contentious. And that speaks to the maturity, professionalism, and respect that the Jaguars and the city have for one another. And I think it's wonderful to see because you just don't see it all that often anymore. I mean, decorum and etiquette, and it's a lost art, unfortunately. And this is a great example of how big things can be done without having to throw things at each other. And so phenomenal leadership, and again, I commend all parties, and it seems like they're well on their way to having a consummated deal, and it is going to be 25 years of great times in this city, and that's what this investment is. It's not just for 1 year. It's not for one game. I mean, it is 25 years of having the heart of your concerts, obviously your sporting events, and it provides so much economic impact. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think the city even gets its money back on the deal if you look at everything that it's going to bring in over that 25-year period.
Yeah, and there was no chance, by the way, that this deal wasn't going to get agreed to. And I will remain confident there's no chance it doesn't get ratified by the council. So again, hopefully by the middle of this summer, everything, the hay is in the barn, and it is presented to the NFL owners. And again, you probably know by now that for at least 1 year, the team will play its home games out of town. And all those details, I think, will be forthcoming on Tuesday. But I think what we have been, if you follow this story through the years, and most of you, if you're listening to this show, you probably have. If you follow this story, you know that they're going to play in the stadium as is for the next two seasons, 2024 and 25. 2026 is the year they will play as the stadium is being renovated, but they'll still be in the stadium. 2027, the plan is to play out of town. My guess is it'll be Gainesville. I don't know that. I think it's too hard to do it in Daytona. You have to reconfigure too much. I don't like the idea of me personally of Orlando at all. I don't want to hear all the chirping about the Orlando Jaguars. My guess is it'll be Gainesville. And let me be clear about this. That's a guess. That's no different than anybody else's guess that has followed this story along the way. But we'll see. But that if that happens, it would be in the 2027 season. And the 2028 season is when you will see the brand new stadium. So this is the 24 season. If it all goes through, you're 4 years away from this team playing in a beautiful new stadium, which is really exciting stuff.
It's incredibly exciting. And again, it is such a smart decision to invest in it and keep Jacksonville moving forward and make it an attractive destination. And again, just look at what the opposite decision does. If the city decided, well, we're not going to do this, we're going to let the Jaguars leave, and they would have plenty of hosts, then what does that say nationally about where Jacksonville's headed? I mean, you're in reverse, and with really no hope to ever get back any sort of positive momentum. I mean, nothing else of consequence would ever come here. And so, this is it. And it's a big part of our city's identity. And I think it's fantastic that they've worked so well in conjunction to preserve it. And again, I think the next decade, the next 25 years in this city, it's going to be the best times that we've had. And this stadium deal is a big part of that.
Yeah, I think it is too. And listen, it doesn't hurt that despite the way it ended last year, it was a bad 6 weeks. Everybody knows that. They know that. But I do think there is some momentum with the football team. Again, if you can get beyond the fact that they ended poorly, and we all know that, this is still a team that's had back-to-back winning seasons for one of the few times in its history. It's still a team that its good core players are very young. Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, and Trevor Lawrence, obviously, and Travis Etienne, and Christian Kirk, and the good core players. There's veteran players, but the good core guys are very young. The Super Bowl winning coach has had back-to-back winning seasons here. Not many coaches have made it to year three here with no losing seasons. So I think there's some confidence in the fan base about the football team. Hey, it's not just about – and so it's a good time to do this. And listen, I'll say it again. You can talk all you want about Trevor Lawrence extension. There's no doubt it's happening. Trevor Lawrence is going – barring some sort of catastrophic injury, and God forbid that happens, Trevor Lawrence will be the quarterback here well into his 30s, and there's not a doubt in my mind. So these are good times to have – there's no bad time to have a beautiful new stadium. These are good times to have it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, this is a point that I made last summer, and I'll make it now as it seems like we're closing in on this. But and I think most of our listenership and audience, I mean, I think they are on our side with this, obviously, because they're sports fans. But if you're listening and you're not a sports fan, and maybe you're not thrilled about this deal, let me say this. Has there ever been a city in this country that has regretted building a stadium? Have you ever read an article ever that says, man, if only we hadn't built that stadium 4 years ago, we'd really be in a much better place as a city? It's never happened. It has never happened, and it's not going to happen here either. You invest in your infrastructure, you invest in your city, and you are richly rewarded for that. Vision is rewarded in this life, and this is a smart, good deal.
Have you been to all the stadiums?
No. I've been to probably like 90% of them.
Yeah, I've not been to Lambeau. I've been to the rest, the existing ones and others. obviously, I'm the voice of the team. Of course, I've been to all of them. But I'm just saying, but I've been being around, I've gotten to see them. How would you rank them? How would you rank the ones you've been to?
I mean, in terms of just how nice they are.
How nice they are.
I mean, I will say this. I mean, there's very few that I would consider to be dumps. I mean, I think
they're all nice.
I think Tennessee's isn't very nice, but they're getting a new one.
Yeah.
Buffalo's isn't very nice, but they're getting a new one. The league is out of San Diego, thank goodness. Yeah. The league is out of Oakland, thank goodness. Those were really, really dilapidated.
Right.
You know, Indy has a very nice stadium. Yeah. Houston has a very nice stadium. So, I mean, I don't know about, like, I don't know that I have a rankings for them, but I can point out the ones that need to be redone.
I'll go, here's where I'm going with this. Here's why I asked. For me, SoFi 1.
I've never been there.
It's fantastic. Jerry's World 2.
That is fantastic.
It's fantastic. Santa Clara 3 for me. And then those are the top three for me. And then I'll lump, to your point, 10, 12 of them in there together. Phoenix is fantastic.
Yeah, Glendale,
the new one in Minnesota is fantastic. Where
I haven't been to Atlanta's new one, but I'm sure it's
fantastic. I've been there many times. I've done college and pro there. So the point is, these shiny new toys that are so miraculous, the seating, the views, the video boards that are so incredible, Jacksonville is going to be, and I will tell you this, if you get beyond the money and how you feel about the fact that they're doing it or how it's paid for, Jacksonville, from what I've seen, Hayes will be is there will be as much wow factor as any in the league. Now, it's not $4 or $5 billion like SoFi. It's not going to seat 100,000 like Dallas. It's not going to be equal in those areas. But when you see the way they've designed this, Mark Lamping's idea to have it covered but open, is such a fan, and that's SoFi, by the way, covered but open. They have not yet, and this will be a question for Mark. We'll get him on the program. They have not yet decided how, or had a conversation at least, with how they are going to grow grass if there's a roof, and there is a roof from everything we understand. So they have to figure that part out. The plan is for it to be real grass. Yeah, I mean, could it be something like they do in Arizona? If you don't know, Arizona's covered, but they actually have a tray. The field is on a tray, and they move it out. I mean, a tray. And they move it out, and it's in the sunshine, and they slide it back in and play football. You've been there, right?
Yep.
I've been there, and you probably, like me, you've been on the field because you were there for the Florida-Ohio State.
Right.
So you were probably on the field, it's and I've been on it a few times. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But Jacksonville will have a stadium that is the talk of the NFL because not only – by the way, the new one's always the talk. With the newest one, it'll be the when you play your first game, you're always in the newest one. But it also will be unique, and I think, and I do believe, by the way, even though what I've been told is the deal you're going to see on Tuesday involves just the stadium, not a deal with the surrounding areas. The surrounding areas are still happening. If you've been down there, the Four Seasons is going up. The construction's happening. So that magnificent area down there. Hayes, when you see the blimp shots this time, you know, everybody loves the blimp shots. It'll be as fancy and really overwhelmingly cool as absolutely any stadium in sports. And that part's really cool.
And if you're a Jaguars fan, you should strut over this. I mean, all you've heard for 15 years is how your team is moving. And this will be the ultimate trump card on, no, it's not. My team is going nowhere. My kids are going to be able to enjoy the Jaguars here. This is what that agreement makes. And in some cases, your grandkids are going to be able to enjoy the Jaguars here. Because, again, you're talking about 25 years down the road is what this stadium solution does. And so this isn't why you would do the deal. But for Jaguar fans that have had to suffer through national experts talking about all the different places the Jaguars were moving to, this is the ultimate, well, that story is put to bed for a long, long time.
Yeah. Even though for the most part it died, thankfully, but now it's dead. Yeah, it has been on life. The Jags moving story has been on significant life support for a long, long time. Wouldn't you say?
I would.
But it's been on one of those iron. Remember the old iron lung? It was in one of those iron lungs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you can pull the plug.
Right.
Okay. And then, not that you ever really couldn't, but for the people that loved that narrative, which was never in play, I couldn't have said that more times. It was never in play. Once this, and again, I don't want to jump the gun here. The city council does have to pass this. Again, they need a simple majority. I want to be clear about this. If an issue like this doesn't go through Downtown Investment Authority, and if, as I understood it, and Lot J didn't, it needed a supermajority, which meant 13 of the 19 votes. To be clear, Lot J had 12 votes. They had 12 of the 19 votes, which is a majority. To me, I still have a hard time understanding how a majority doesn't rule, but it didn't. But this time, a majority will rule. 10 votes of the 19, and again, I'd be very surprised if it's not an overwhelming majority. Would you be surprised if it was unanimous?
I would not be surprised if it's unanimous, because I think there's going to be more pushback on voting against it than there will be voting for it. So I would not be surprised if it's unanimous. I certainly will be shocked if it doesn't pass.
Right.
I think they're in a great place, but it's good to keep reminding people that there are still steps it has to go through. It's got to go through the NFL owners, and 24 owners have to vote on it. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all, because Mark Lamping, Shad Khan, they know what their peers are looking for, and they're making sure that this deal is going to satisfy that. And, you know, the owners, I do think, really respect Shad. So I don't think they're going to have much of a backlash there. So I think everything's going to fall into place very nicely. We just have to check those boxes over the coming months.
Yeah, and I think that'll happen. So we'll see. All right, we've got some other things to talk about as we move along. I will tell you, I had a whole bunch of stuff planned that we didn't quite get to today because the stadium deal happening. This whole, to me, and JJ, I know you're interested in this probably more than Hayes and I are, this whole NBC TNT thing that's going to happen, JJ, where is it going to land? What's your opinion? Do you think TNT is losing the NBA?
No. I don't know anything about it, but I'd be shocked by that.
What do you think, Hayes? I've read a lot about it.
I have read nothing about it, but I would think they absolutely could lose it.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one piece left. ESPN's got the best piece. ESPN is going to have the finals every year. That's done. The TNT is fighting for a slice now that's not even – in the past, they've always been guaranteed one of the conference finals. They're not even going to necessarily – I think they're going to have that every other year now. Whoever gets this last piece after ESPN and the streaming's all done, whoever gets this last piece will get a conference final every other year. Either NBC. NBC is, and NBC would put Tirico and Noah Eagle on the games. That'd be their two play-by-play guys.
It's pretty good.
I like that.
That's pretty good. And so I don't know. I think TNT might lose this. I think.
Could they both still get NBA games and TNT just not have a big enough, share?
You know, all I know is what I've read on this. But for what I've read, there's only one piece left, and it's going to one of them. That ESPN has the big piece. Amazon, I think, one of the streaming services has the streaming piece. And the only piece left is going to go to either TNT keeps it or NBC takes it from them.
I would love for – I mean, I like the TNT, what they've done with the NBA. They do great. But the more I think about it, I would be probably fine with them losing it because I don't have cable anyway. I have to, steal my dad's cable information to watch TNT on the app. You know, for these games. So I'm sure if it was on NBC, they'd just put it on Peacock.
Yeah, I
like that a lot better.
And I'm sure they would. So, but I just can't. And I guess why is of so like, much interest to me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if TNT loses this, I mean, what do they have? I guess they have the NHL now.
They have the NHL. They've still got TNT. The Turner's got some stuff.
But I'm saying for live, live sports is where it's at. Well, that's the only thing people watch anymore.
They have baseball still.
Do they still have WCW Thunder?
WCW Thunder. Have,
what was Hulk Hogan's show that he had? Oh, my God. It
Nitro?
Aired like right after. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
But Barkley. I mean, Barkley, I saw someone today refer to him as the best studio analyst ever in any sport. I don't know that I'll
go
there.
I don't know that I'd go there. But
I think
he's
just a funny character. He's never saying anything that I'm like, oh, my God, you're right.
But he is
that
fun.
Was great.
But he is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Barkley is fun to watch. So I can't imagine. Did you tell me yesterday that he can get out of the deal if TNT didn't?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Unlike Ernie Johnson, who said he would stick around if they lose the NBA.
Because Ernie Johnson, his dad was a TBS guy.
Right.
His dad was a Turner guy before he was, so I can see that.
Thunder in Paradise, by the way.
Thunder in Paradise.
Classic.
Yeah. I mean, they can always play the Beastmaster. Yeah.
a hundred times.
Go back to that. You know?
Well, they got about 85 stations. They got TBS and TNT and True, and they're all right there together.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of those stations. We'll see what winds up happening. Let's take a break. A little college football talk. Brandon Marcello's got an interesting summer top 30. I want to get to that coming up. I want to talk a little bit about this whole villain in sports thing. Villain. Are there villains left? Are there villain coaches left? Are there villains left? I want to get to that. We got some more stuff to do. Glad you're with us. 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's a Ricketts Electric Wednesday on The Frangie Show. Ricketts Electric, the power connection you can trust.
Give Zach Ricketts a call today, 904-320-5960. They do a great job. Ricketts Electric. They're our electrician. Make them yours as well. So, Brandon Marcello does a good job for CBS Sports. Has a top 30 in college football. Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Ole Miss 4.
Wow. I have a feeling they're going to fall apart.
Yeah, I do too. They're not going to be that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to win 3 games, but it could be.
No, I don't mean that.
It could be 7 or 8 more than it is 10 or 11.
Yeah, they'll end up in like the Music City Bowl.
I think so too. Texas 5, Alabama 6, Michigan SC 8, Utah 9, Penn State 10, LSU 11, Noles 12. Too high, too low for the Noles?
That's where I'd have them. Dennis Dodd released a poll as well today. He had FSU 20th, which I thought was too low for me.
Yeah,
I'd have FSU more in the 10 to 12 range.
He's got Tennessee 15, Miami 16. Agree with those?
I do agree.
Ballpark?
I do think that's right. I think Miami has a lot of talent. I think if they go into the swamp and beat Florida, they're off and running to a really special year.
Here's one for you. Louisville 27, Virginia Tech 28, Iowa State 29, Liberty 30, no Gators.
How could you put them on?
I agree.
I mean,
it's funny to see Liberty.
I mean, honestly, if you gave Ole Miss Florida's schedule, would you rank them?
Right.
I don't think I would. I get Ole Miss has a lot of talent.
But
Ole Miss had to play Miami at Florida State in addition to a brutal SEC. I don't think I just think that I'll give you an example. So Dennis Dodd does a top 25.
Right.
Florida plays 8 of his top 23 teams.
Right.
I'm not sure unless it was like the Tebow Gators. I'm not sure that you could possibly rank Florida.
Right.
Now they may prove everybody wrong and they may be much better than people think, but you have to factor in the schedule in preseason rankings, in my opinion. It just, I mean, the path is so different for these teams. And the NFL, not so much. The NFL, you're going to have a really hard schedule. It's just a matter of, is it going to be hard or is it going to be brutal? College football, you can have a cakewalk versus, in Florida's case, arguably the greatest strength of schedule we've ever seen. You can't rank Florida.
Right. So, no, and I agree with
you. Now, if they beat Miami in week one,
right,
they should be ranked.
Right.
I don't know that they will be, but if Florida does beat Miami, who will be ranked, I would assume, in the AP preseason top 25, you know, then yeah, once you deliver a result, then, you know, I could see ranking them, but not based on the road that is ahead of them.
Right. It'll be interesting to see. Other topic. Are there any more villain coaches? I mean, Belichick was a villain for the longest time. Nick Saban to so many was a villain. And by the way, Nick Saban's a good guy. I'm just saying because he won so much.
Right.
Villain not meaning bad guy. Yeah. I mean,
Belichick was kind of a villain, but then at the end, he sort of, over the last few years, became kind of.
I think Calipari is.
Oh, and I was just.
But see,
ask
I now like him.
See, I was.
Gonna, oh, I've always loved him, but other people.
But is he less?
But I used to think he was a villain, and now I think he's a hero.
Is he less of a villain because he's not a Kentucky anymore?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I brought it up. Calipari, and again, when I say villain, again, I'm going to say it again about Saban. Saban's a good man, but he's a villain because he beats you all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, Calipari, Belichick. Saban and Belichick are out of it, and Calipari's not at Kentucky anymore. Yeah. That's what got me thinking about it.
Well, like, I'll say this. If you told me Florida cannot win the SEC in men's basketball this
Arkansas
season,
does?
I would pull for Arkansas to win the SEC.
Is Bruce Pearl still a villain? See, Tennessee Bruce Pearl was
I kind of think he is, but he has done some nice things. He was very classy with Keontae Johnson's medical issue, and you know he's been great to Todd Golden. So I think from a Florida perspective, it's softened somewhat.
I think Tennessee Bruce Pearl was a villain. Auburn Bruce Pearl is not.
I would sort of agree
with that. I'll tell you a guy who was – he was making his way definitely to a top-notch villain until he left was Harbaugh.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, Harbaugh
at
Michigan, he was suspended like 3 times last year.
Yeah, and people didn't like him. Yeah. He was cocky. Yeah, you're right. He was a villain.
He's really goofy. Like, he has that goofy side to him, which I think held everyone from hating him back, you know.
Yeah, it's a great point. In the NFL, like, is there a villain?
No, because the dominant coach, Andy Reid, everybody likes.
Right.
I mean, Andy Reid would be because he beat you all the time. But he's kind of a good dude. He's funny. He's not
Jerry Jones.
You know what?
He thinks he's the coach.
Jerry Jones, as far as people.
But he doesn't win, so it's almost like.
But it does feel like there's some villain there. But there's not many, are there? I mean, college, pro.
Like Kyle Shanahan for the 49ers, I don't think is.
Bob Knight was a villain.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I'm trying to think.
People don't like Popovich.
See, I kind of do.
But he won 22 games, so it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Now you don't hear about him.
But even when he was winning, was he a villain?
Oh, yeah. He was.
People hated him. And the way he was with the media, and he would talk down to everybody.
He was very curt and angry.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, who's the biggest from. There's 32 NFL head coaches.
I can't think of one villain.
Are there any?
Mike McDaniels. No.
I can't think of one villain.
They're all likable, pretty much.
Yeah. Now, some 8 of them are new, so that certainly helps.
But I cannot.
And Harbaugh isn't really an NFL villain.
I can't think of one villain in the NFL.
I mean, like, John Harbaugh is considered a good guy.
Right.
Mike Tomlin's considered a good guy. You mentioned Reed, who's very lovable.
Yeah. There's no villains.
You've got the young offensive wizards like McVay, LaFleur. No one hates them. In terms of general, it just doesn't seem to exist.
I got a lot of Gator fans who would tell you that Billy Napier is their number one villain.
Look at the college. Good point. College football. There's nobody. They go through that whole SEC. I can't find
Lane.
One. Who?
Lane.
You know what? He's kind of a lovable, quirky, sort of funny villain.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll give you that.
I would agree. I mean, it seems like these guys that maybe were have softened
or gone away.
Because I don't think Kirby Smart's a villain. I mean, he's excellent at what he does.
Yeah, I
come back to that in 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I mean,
they've had some off-the-field things that he needs to get control over.
But Kirby doesn't tick anybody off.
But he, but I don't consider him a villain.
He hasn't like come out to the meeting and be like, we're doing nothing wrong here.
Right.
You know, you guys, it's a war against us.
Like, I think Brian Kelly is an absolute joke, but I don't think he's a villain. You know? So it is
very unlikable at times.
Yeah, but I mean, how could you not?
Never a villain.
Like, Josh Heupel's a good guy.
Yeah, nobody.
Eli Drinkwitz kind of has villain in him,
but he hasn't
won enough.
Yeah, and you can't.
But he's got that kind of.
Yeah,
I'm gonna like
he's snarky.
Yeah,
he's snarky.
Like, we stand on business, Josh, things like that.
The little war he had with Mullen,
right? But Mullen started that, so I can kind of forgive him for that.
Problem is, he's at Missouri.
That's the thing.
By the way, Missouri was ranked in the top 10 at one point last year. Marcello's got them in the top 15 this year. In 2 years, Missouri will be ranked 68th.
Right.
Because they're Missouri.
That's what I would – unless they go like – unless the NIL money is just ridiculous. Because that – I mean, again, that's the – that is the paradigm shifting here in college football, where for decades, you were probably like, what is it going to take for us to be good in football if you didn't have that prestige?
Right.
Well, now if you've got the cash, you can field a really competitive team. And Missouri seems like when it comes to NIL, they've done a really good job.
I'll give you a really good one who might not be a villain to everyone, but man, there's people that hate this guy, Deion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what? That's a. I think
he's loved by a lot.
He's loved, but he's also
Here's when he would be a villain if they ever start winning,
right?
Because he would. Oh my God, you wouldn't hear the end of it.
If he landed, I don't think they're ever going to win at Colorado. But if he landed somewhere where they could win,
yeah.
I mean, if you looked up and he was the Oklahoma coach and they're beating everybody,
yeah,
he'd be an absolute villain. So interesting stuff. We'll take a break. One segment to go. We'll wrap the program after this on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's a Ricketts Electric Wednesday on The Frangie Show. Ricketts Electric, the power connection you can trust.
Not a big Zeppelin guy. This is my favorite Zeppelin song,
it's
though.
Fantastic.
This is from the In Through the Outdoor album.
Nicely done.
It had that. It was like it had a paper bag album. Yeah. We used to play this in Gainesville when we were, well, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Having fun.
So, we did this in Gainesville, so I love this album. Good album. You know what I think I might do tonight? You ready for this? You would never guess it, so I'll tell you. I might go on one of the wherever you get the old movies.
Mm-hmm.
I might go watch Eddie and the Cruisers. Did you like Eddie and the Cruisers?
I have not seen that in 35 years.
Yeah,
probably.
Did you like it?
I did like it. Yeah. I thought it was really good. And,
JJ, do you know the movie at all?
Never heard of it.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah. It's good. It's about
it's built on Springsteen's life, but it's built on Springsteen's band, but not his life, and it's fantastic. I mean, I may have to go watch, and I may belt out from the Dark Side, all during tomorrow's show. I'm not afraid, that.
Absolutely, I'll look forward to it. I saw we talked about the Springsteen movie, about the making of the Nebraska album, and there was a story today that they're casting. The guy from Secession that played Kendall Roy, and as his manager, who I'd never heard of.
Yeah, I wish if you're gonna make a movie about something Springsteen, gosh, I wish it was an album I liked better.
Right.
You know, it's okay album.
Yeah. So does he have a manager? Did he have a manager that would? I mean, this actor would indicate that's a big role.
Well, his manager was John, the Michael Jackson guy, John.
The name, I don't remember the name.
John Landau.
John Landau was his
manager forever.
Okay.
But
I think the actor's name is Jeremy Strong, but he played
he's awesome.
He is a phenomenal actor.
And he's going to play the manager.
He plays the manager, yeah. So I would assume that, I mean, just kind of based on how it's always tricky to do this. I'm typecasting him, but I would assume he's the antagonist in the movie. Would that make sense?
No, he and Landau are pretty close.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't have a falling out. Maybe there was some other man. Maybe he preceded him.
Okay.
Yeah, never know. So
he's like a method guy. Like, I have to get into the role completely. Like, when we're with the other actors at lunch, I'm still in role. You know, like, which I could imagine that would be pretty annoying.
That's
as
how
the
I live
other
my
actors.
Life.
Yeah. If you guys don't know this, Hayes, when we go to commercial break, he still talks into the mic. Yeah, it's really weird.
I'm still an idiot.
and with the headset on. It's amazing stuff.
It's my method idiot, behavior.
I'm going to watch it. I think I may watch Eddie and the Cruisers. I'll let you know how it ends if you want to know.
Please do.
I'll
did you ever see the sequel?
Yeah, it was terrible.
That's what I thought.
It was terrible.
I don't think I ever saw the sequel. It was way after. Wasn't it like 10 years after they did?
And because they left it, I mean, Eddie and the Cruisers had such a perfect ending. It needed to stop. Yeah. It was really good. It was a great 80s movie. Yeah. And the movie, obviously the music was not him. Michael Paré played the actor, but the movie was John Cafferty, the Beaver
That's
Brown.
Right.
The music was John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, who were fantastic. You know, I mean, that's all they ever did.
Right.
But they did that one album, and it was fantastic. I may have to watch that tonight. Just thought I'd tell you that.
Good idea.
We haven't got into it in depth, but I will a little bit tomorrow. The Atlantic Sun moves here. I may try and go ahead and get Jeff Bacon on the air, the commissioner. I think it's interesting. I'm interested in how and I'm going to ask him this. How does a conference like the A-Sun find consistency when your membership is changing so often? Changes every year because teams want to get bigger. That the A-Sun's in one of those spots, Hayes, where anybody that can leave and get to the Southern Conference and play football is going to do it. The little guys that are even smaller can't wait to get up to it. So how do you find consistency and maintain who you are when who you play changes every year? I mean, I'm glad Liberty left because Liberty was on a different playing field than everybody else. But the rest of the teams now, I think, are pretty even.
Yeah, I would agree. And it will be interesting to see what he says. And you know, again, his perspective on the portal and NIL and a potential breakaway and what would that do and things like that. So, yeah, it'll be fun catching up with him.
We'll try and track down. And for people that don't know, Jeff's brother, Scott, is on staff at JU. So Scott Bakett, who we know is on staff at JU.
And his older brother, Kevin, is a great actor.
He's a very good actor. Many degrees, 6 degrees of difference. No question about it. Folks, that's just about going to do it for our program. Tomorrow we'll be back here, same bat time, same bat channel. The news of the day, as you know, the stadium deal, it looks like it has been agreed to. And that's exciting stuff, no question about it. We're out of here. For Hayes and JJ, I'm Frank Franchi. So long.